Welcome this morning. Today we take a final look at the Samaritan woman, just finishing off some aspects to do with what she represents, and next time we'll look more at closely at what the disciples and how they're involved in this situation. We'll touch on it today, and in touching on it, what I want you to just see here is that there is a contrast between the disciples and their response to the Lord and the Samaritan woman and her response. There's a very stark contrast here, and it has to do with having a faith that is merely intellectual or dominated in terms of the things of the memory, as opposed to a faith that is of the life. And so in the disciples, and in their indignation really at finding Jesus talking to this woman, we see what an intellectual faith is like when it is somewhat separated from life. And the woman, who represents of course our affection for truth, and how it is that how open she is and inquiring she is of the Lord in the situation around the well. And of course what we see with this woman is that she is the primary means by which that city, or the people of the city of Sychar, that is the Samaritans, are brought into connection with the Lord. And so in the intellectual side of things, if that dominates, we have this element of aloofness and coldness, and in a sense an inability or an unwillingness to share, whereas in the woman who experiences the Lord personally and firsthand, she cannot help but testify to the good things that have been done in her life. So we're going to be looking at this contrast a little bit today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father, Lord, we acknowledge that we have no life of our own except the selfishness which seeks only its own interest, that we have no understanding except to see our own purposes. Lord, we are entirely dependent on you for any life that looks to helping others. Lord, as we remember our entire dependence upon you, be present with us and strengthen those things within us that are your own. And in sharing in your life, we take into our life your love, which is the bread by which we are nourished. May the fullness of that love be our portion, that we might be able to share your goodness with others who so desperately need it. Grant us the power of your truth, that spiritual wine, to fulfill your purposes here on earth. Make our souls to live only in your love, your body given for us. Make our minds to see from the perspective of your wisdom, your blood which was poured out for us. As we put away the death that is our selfishness, dear Lord, grant us eternal life. Amen. And now, Lord. So our reading from the Gospel of John this morning is John chapter 4, verses 27 to 34, and then verses 39 to 42. And at this point, his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, Has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Then they said to the woman, Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Now, readings, selection from the Heavenly Doctrines, first one being from the Apocalypse Explained, number 808. Saving faith is to believe that the Lord is the Saviour of the world, and that He is the God of heaven and the God of earth, and that by His coming into the world He put Himself into the power of saving all those who receive truths from Him through the Word, and live according to them. But those who are able to receive truths from him and live according to them, that is, they are those who shun evils as sin against the word and therefore against God. For by these means man's internal is purified, and this being purified, he is led of the Lord and not of himself. And so far as man is led of the Lord, so far he loves truths and receives them, and also wills and does them. This faith is saving faith. And from the Arcana Celestia, number 30. With people who are being created anew, faith develops as follows. First of all, they have no life, for life does not exist in anything evil and false, but in what is good and true. Then they start to receive life from the Lord by means of faith. First by faith existing in the memory, which is factual faith. Then by faith existing in the understanding, which is conceptual faith. And after this, by faith existing in the heart, which is loving or saving faith. And finally from the Apocalypse Explained, number 815. For the first faith with all is a historical faith, and this afterwards becomes a saving faith when man by his life becomes spiritual. For first of all, it is to be believed that the Lord is the God of heaven and earth, and that he is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient, infinite, and one with the Father. These things must be known, but so far as they are merely known, they are historical, and a historical faith presents the Lord as present because it is a looking to the Lord from his divine nature. And yet that faith does not save until man lives the life of faith, which is charity. For he then wills and does what he believes, and to will and to do is of the love, and love conjoins to him whom faith presents as present. So this encounter of the Lord with the woman, the Samaritan woman, it had largely taken place without the disciples being present. From verse 8 we learn that they had gone into the city to buy food. And that word food literally means that they went in to buy nurturing. And there is an interesting pattern of movement in regards to the woman and the disciples in relation to the Lord and the city of Sychar. We see that when the woman is present with the Lord, the disciples are absent in the city. And then when the disciples return and they are in the presence of the Lord, so the woman then returns to the city. So we have this alternating movement going on. And this shift and movement represents the Word and how it works with those two great aspects of our mind. So that when the Lord's relationship to the disciples takes center stage, what we have represented there are those things to do with the Word's working in the intellectual side of our mind. And then when the woman becomes the center of focus, we have represented those things belonging to the will or to the affections, particularly in this case the affection for truth. Now we know now that the Lord on the well represents the Word as to its spirit. This is the Lord's divine human. The divine human to which we have access to through the teachings for spiritual Christianity found in the heavenly doctrines for the new church. These make known to us who it is that sits upon the well of the Word, and so are able to open our minds to the deeper things within the Word that can minister to what is deeper within us. Particular area of focus here is on how the Lord strengthens those things in us that have to do with loving our neighbour or cultivating a genuine concern for the spiritual well-being of others. What the heavenly doctrines define as charity. And we know from having looked at the spiritual meaning of Samaria, and in the fact that the meaning of the name of the city Sychar is strong drink, that what we are dealing with here are things to do with charity or loving the neighbour. And this is what is meant by spiritual things as opposed to celestial things. Celestial things being love to the Lord. Now Sychar is strong drink. Strong drink or wine in the Word corresponds to spiritual truths. That is, truths that teach us how to love our neighbour. And it corresponds to the joy when these truths are able to be expressed in uses that support the growth of the Lord's love in others. Now cities in the Word, they correspond to our various modes of thought. And this can be seen in that cities and towns and villages are where people like to dwell, and so corresponds to the modes of thought that we like to dwell in or feel at home in internally. We have a hometown, somewhere we return to after travelling. Similarly, we have a home state of thought that we continually return to after travelling through other modes of thinking that we need to enter into to function in the various relationships and activities of our day. Some cities have walls for defence. Some forms of our thinking processes can also take on the appearance of having walls, of being defensive, particularly when we feel we're under threat. The point being that the Samaritan city of Sychar represents a mode of thought. Specifically, it represents our thinking on spiritual matters to do with loving the neighbour. And because it's in Samaria, whose people were of a mixed race, what we see here in the Lord dealing around this well outside the city is that it represents a mixed state of our own thinking in spiritual matters that needs sorting out. And this process of sorting this out so that we can come into a more complete or fuller understanding of what spiritual love really is, sees the Lord primarily engaged in working with our affection for truth, represented by this woman. The disciples, in contrast, represent those more fixed ideas about the Lord and spiritual life. Ideas that we have come to rely on but now need to undergo a change if we are wanting to move on. Now the contrast between the intellectual aspects of faith represented by the disciples and the woman who represents the affectional aspect of faith is quite marked here. Notice that the disciples are focused on purchasing food. They go into the city to buy food for themselves. And this speaks of a state of mind when we are too much in the head as far as our faith is concerned. When intellectual things dominate, then our seeking is often for ourselves, in the sense that it is a seeking of spiritual knowledge for its own sake, rather than for the sake of uses that can support others. The disciples, in seeking to purchase food, speaks of a focus on seeking out what can satisfy our intellectual hunger. Now, when this isn't governed by a goal that looks to uses that can support others, we can end up in a mode of gathering knowledge and information about the Lord and spiritual life, and fall into the delusion by using this as a substitute for actually living that life. And of course, we can justify that approach very easily. We can say to ourselves, surely there can't be anything more spiritual than reading books on spiritual subjects, listening to sermons, praying fervently, reading the Bible and the heavenly doctrines, and any other forms of activity that give us a sense of being spiritual. But these kinds of intellectual activities, if not balanced in practical uses, can lead to spiritual indigestion. And this can be seen in the disciples' responses to the situation they find when they return to the well. Here, they are indignant somewhat at finding the Lord speaking to a woman. Do they question the Lord about this to get a better understanding of the situation? No. In fact, they withhold their questions, choosing to say nothing, and in doing so, harboring ill will. This is a form of spiritual indigestion, and it occurs when we lack balance in our spiritual activities. The Lord seeks to maintain us in a balance of learning and doing. The natural man tends to want to settle into what is familiar and is resistant to the spiritual man's efforts to put spiritual truths into practice. This is because the act of applying truths often requires us to make changes and move out of what is familiar so that new ways of being can come into being within our life. Now, building an understanding of spiritual principles and knowledge is vital, and it's an important aspect to spiritual practice. But it needs to be done with a view to its application to life. There comes a point, represented in this situation with the disciples, where more knowledge and understanding is not required. What is required is a response from the will. If we want to move into what is represented by Galilee, then what's needed is for the will to be strengthened, and this can only happen when we act from the understanding of truth that we have now. In the literal elements of the story, we have captured the contrast between a faith which is stuck in knowing, a faith that is stuck in knowing about God, and a faith that is active in responding to truths in life. In the disciples, it's all about resting in knowing and in information. But in the woman, we have revealed that side of us that is capable of doing, of responding. She was willing to ask the Lord questions and clearly showed openness not evident in the disciples in regard to receiving instruction. She came seeking water for herself, but ends up leaving her water pot behind to take what she has discovered out to others. While the disciples represent our more fixed ideas in regard to spiritual matters, the woman represents a developing affection for truth. In particular, an affection or developing motivation to live from the truths we have. So spiritual life is about getting the balance right between building our knowledge of spiritual things and putting this knowledge into practice so that it becomes expressed as goodness or love that others are able to receive and benefit from. The Lord works with the utmost care to keep opportunities before us in which we're able to respond to the truths He has provided for us. His ability to work in our life is directly related to our relationship to the Word and our willingness to act from it. It is through the Word that the Lord provides us with goods and truths from Himself to build our intellectual capabilities and our ability to do and to pull all this together into a heavenly form, a form of charity. So as we take truths into our life and use them, our affections are purified. And it is this process of purification that enables us to perceive the Lord more clearly. This process is seen in the woman coming to the well and engaging with the Lord, which represents our own efforts to come to the Word and engage with the living truth found there. Our affection for truth begins in a mixed state. It is a Samaritan. We have aspects of self-seeking in our search for truth. And in the story of this woman's life, we too have had many husbands, and the one perhaps we are with now is not our husband. As we work to have self-seeking removed, so we come into contact in the Word with the one who can give us living water. In other words, through the removal of evils and falsities, we enter into a state where we become receptive of, and so are able to perceive, the Lord's presence as the inner sense of the Word. The affection for truth given to us from the Word moves us from self-seeking to seeking for the sake of use, and in this process we find our affections purified and that we come into seeking truth simply for the good it can bring into being in our relationships with others. This movement from self-seeking to seeking for the sake of uses connected with spiritual life marks a major shift in our relationship to the Word and the degree of impact it can have in our lives. It is significant that in the story it is the woman's testimony that has a major impact on those who live in the city, not the disciples. This shows us that it is the spiritual affection and not the intellect that takes the leading role in the Lord being able to lead us into a fuller understanding of what love or charity truly is. Now we shouldn't think of spiritual affection as being something of the emotions. The natural man thinks of loving the Lord and others as simply purely emotional. This is not what spiritual affection is. Spiritual affection is not of the emotions, which tend to be more external and somewhat fickle. Spiritual affection is much deeper than this. It is a deep motivation drawn from the Word itself that enables us to respond to spiritual truths, even when we emotionally don't feel like it. The power of this woman's testimony lay in the Lord being able to disclose to her all that she had done, all her life. In the end, it was her personal experience of the divine truth working in her life that convinced her that he who sat before her wasn't just any ordinary prophet, but was in fact the Christ himself. It is the same with us today. If we engage with the Word from an affection for truth, using it to govern the life of our will with its affections, and our understanding with its ideas and concepts, and from this our behaviour, we will see the Lord within it. And this experience will transform our thinking as to what it really means to love our neighbour. Like the woman who entered back into the city where she told all, she is the will strengthened, an affection for truth that can enter into the city of our thinking and bring all its elements into contact with the living water or Word Himself. And here is demonstrated the impact of making truth a matter of life rather than something of the memory or intellect. When it's something of the life, it transforms. And we read of this in verses 39 to 42, where it says, "And many of the Samaritans out of that city believed in him, because of the word of the woman testifying, 'He told me all things, whatever I did.' Then as the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to remain with them, and he remained there 2 days. And many more believed through his word. And they said to the woman, 'We no longer believe because of your saying, for we ourselves have heard, and we know that this one is truly the Saviour of the world, the Christ.'" Many of the Samaritans believed. The city is brought into contact with the Lord due to this affection for truth, and the city is transformed. Similarly, when we take truths into our life, truths from the Lord, that is from the Word, we too will undergo a transformation. Everything within us will be reordered and brought into a form where charity can be truly expressed as a matter of life. And when this begins to happen, so we undergo this transformation, opening a way for the Lord to bring wholeness into every part of our lives as he now makes his way to Galilee. Amen.